everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Jaden.
And I'm Annie.
And in the interest of full disclosure, day job has been kicking my butt lately. I am pretty tired. I don't know about you guys.
I second that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But luckily, about a week away from going to San Diego, so at least for Jaden and I, not that we'll get rest, but it's a different kind of tired. I always come back from San Diego saying I need a vacation from my vacation.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, this episode is going to be a preview of the books coming out on July 13th. Those would be the DC Rebirth titles. And we will mention just a couple bits of news really quick. The books we're going to cover in this episode are Action Comics number 959, Detective Comics number 936, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps Rebirth number 1, New Superman number 1, Nightwing Rebirth number 1, The Flash number 2, and Wonder Woman number 2. But before we get into talking about those books...
We're sitting on top of the story of the century here.
Just a couple bits of news that I wanted to mention. These are things that actually got announced before today. There's going to be a new Iron Man. There's actually going to be two new Iron Men, I guess. Or Iron Persons? I don't know. How would you say that? Because one of them is like a 19-year-old genius female black person of color, whatever the politically correct. So Tony Stark is going to mentor her, I guess, or he's going to step back. And then also, there's a new title called The Infamous Iron Man, which is going to be Doctor Doom. Doctor Doom is going to be wearing Iron Man armor. We've seen Doctor Doom as a supporting character in the Invincible Iron Man title already. We saw some kind of something went down during Secret Wars. And then when Reed Richards and the whole rest of his family rebuilt the universe, Dr. Doom has his normal face back, and without the scars, pre-Doom days, I guess you'd say. And so now he's gonna be Iron Man. I don't know. I mean, all these different Iron Men, it almost makes me think like maybe Tony Stark, like they're not coming out and saying it because they don't want to spoil it, but that Tony Stark is not going to survive Civil War II. It wouldn't surprise me. So whatever, I mean, Doctor Doom is Iron Man. I guess it's not that far-fetched because we've, clearly he's worn armor in the past. Turning this teenage black girl into Iron Man, honestly, and it's not that I'm against her as a character or whatever, but at this point, I'm pretty sick and tired of Marvel taking their established characters and turning them all into female or persons of color or both in this case, just seemingly for the sake of diversity. If you want to make a new character that's female, who's a strong character and carries her own title, or a person of color, then fine, make a new character. Stop crapping on the old characters that we've grown up reading and loving by changing them into other people. You have Sam Wilson as Captain America. You have Jane Foster as Thor. I mean, it's enough already. It's seriously. And, the rumor is with they're all new number ones they're launching this fall with the Divided We Stand kind of thing. You're going to see multiple Iron Men. You're going to see multiple Thors, because supposedly the original Thor, the male version, the Odin son, as he's being called now, is going to become Thor again by finding the hammer of the ultimate Thor, the Mjolnir from the Ultimate Universe. So then you're going to have two Thors, and you have two different Iron Men, one Doctor Doom and one this other girl, Riri Williams. And so it's like, the joke on the Bleeding Cool article was saying that DC is doubling up on their books by shipping twice a month. Well, Marvel's doing the same thing by having, they won't double ship, but they'll have two characters, they'll have two Iron Men, two Hawkeyes, two Spider-Man. You know, you got Miles Morales Spider-Man, you got Peter Parker Spider-Man. I don't know, man. I'm just not feeling it, Marvel. And from what I've heard retailers saying, a lot of the fans are kind of tired of it too. A lot of longtime Marvel readers are done. They're tired of Marvel messing with the characters they've loved for so long, you know, seemingly for no other reason than they want to be diverse. And the sales numbers are proving that. So I guess time will tell. Anyway, on to happier things.
Please do note, this is no ordinary comic book. It is in permanent condition. If you spill soda on it, the drops fly off harmlessly onto lesser comics.
Oh.
Yes, you are quite correct to gasp.
Actually, before we talk about the book, I should ask if you guys have anything to add. Jaden?
I was just going to say that it kind of reminds, or Doctor Doom as Iron Man reminds me of Doc Ock as Spider-Man, the Superior Spider-Man. That's what it kind of seems like to me. It's kind of like another version of that.
Yeah, actually, I saw somebody say, well, they should have kept the, you know, there was a Superior Iron Man title already. But yeah, that would fit right in. So they should have continued the numbering from Superior Iron Man. What about you, Manny? Got anything to add?
No, I just shook my head at it, and I did read a lot of different pages. So I wanted to see. I usually don't go to the comment section. Sometimes I wanted to see how people reacted, and surprisingly, there's a lot of people who are reluctantly starting to turn negative onto Marvel comics. Because it's just getting so confusing, and I was kind of telling a joke to some friends that, you know, I'm against this character, but Marvel has made it that if I'm speaking against this character, I'm either a sexist or a racist. because I mean that's just what they're doing with everyone, and I mean it's completely the opposite. I hate to compare them, but I mean it just. It is what it is. It's completely the opposite direction of what DC is doing, as going back to its legacy characters, and at the same time, Marvel is still shredding theirs. I don't know if it has something to do with the fact that they don't have rights to some characters for the movies, so they're just going to do what they want with them. But I mean, it doesn't help that their books are so damn expensive. I mean, a lot of those number ones, they're retailing at $4.99, $5.99. And it's really hard to get into it because you start reading a series and 6, 8, 12 issues in, it's gone, and you don't really know what to do much with it. So, it's sad, it's disappointing, but hopefully they can right the ship sooner or later. But if they keep making money off of it, if fans keep buying the books, even though they're not necessarily happy with them. If they're buying them for because they're number ones or their variant covers that they're so famous for now, they're just gonna keep printing them. So it's up to the readers to really stand up and voice their opinion.
Yep, well said. All right, well, the first book we're gonna talk about is Action Comics number 959, written by Dan Jurgens. The art is handled by Tyler Kirkham, and the colors are by Arif Prianto. Not really that familiar with him. I guess I'll go first. My first thought after finishing this book was, wow. Action Comics. Like, I don't think I've ever read an issue of Action Comics that lived up to the title, like Action Comic. More so than this issue. This issue was just action from the first panel to the last. Superman battling Doomsday. We got a little furthering of the plot with Clark Kent. This mysterious Clark Kent. We don't understand who he is. He doesn't have any powers. We saw Luthor do some cool stuff with his armor as far as repairing it with the Mother Box. We got a little bit of maybe a break from the action with Lois and John, who is Superman and Lois Lane's son, Jonathan Kent. A little bit of a break in the action with, you know, Lois is worried. Obviously, she's seen her husband killed by Doomsday before, and so she's feeling that. And John is sensing that tension, I guess, or that worry. And he's asking questions about when they fought before, and Lois obviously doesn't want to tell him that, you know, his dad died before. So it was kind of a different kind of action, a little break from the fighting. But that was well done. The characterization was well done there. The art by Tyler Kirkham, this is the first time we've seen that side of the art team. The previous issues were by Patrick Zurcher. The art, I thought, was outstanding. Very, very well done. It's a little bit more of a, I don't know, I don't want to say a clean style, but just a little bit different style than I've seen from Kirkham before. I've never seen him, I don't know, maybe I haven't seen him ink himself before. Maybe that's why it looks a little different, or maybe he's doing something differently digitally, but it just looks a little more of an animation style, I would say. But yeah, I thought the art was done well. Yeah, a really, really great issue. Obviously, and I said this before after the last issue, I'm kind of anxious to get some answers and to find out, you know, what's up with the Clark Kent? What's up with the, you know, Doomsday? Where's the Lois Lane of this Earth? We did get some Clark Kent, some movement on that storyline a little bit. And based on the way this issue ended, we'll probably get more next issue. But even though it didn't necessarily provide any answers, it was so jam-packed with action and so tightly paced that I'm definitely still in. I'm definitely hooked into this story. And Wonder Woman's supposed to make an appearance next issue, so that should be interesting seeing her interact with this super, you know, because she was basically in a relationship in love with the Superman of the New 52 universe who died recently. And so, you know, she's going to come face to face with this newer Superman who's married and has a child. So that's going to have to be weird for her, I imagine. And yeah, I mean, Doomsday looks awesome. It was a great issue. I loved it. Why don't you go next, Jaden?
I also really like this issue. It's a lot of action, like you said, and it's crazy. Usually with this much action, I feel like the panels probably take more time to draw, but it doesn't really lose that much of... None of the panels are really bad if you look at them. Like, none of them have any flaws that are really, like, obvious. Because with stuff like this, usually there's a little bit of inconsistencies, even with good artists. But yeah, I really enjoyed the art when I was watching it, when I was reading this.
Yeah, it could have been because this is the first issue he's done. He may have had, you know, a long time to work on it.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying Superman and Super Lex together. I think it looks really, really cool. And I, like you said, Doomsday looks great. I'm also eager to get some answers, though. I kind of feel like this is more just, I don't know, there's not really anything that we got out of this really that's for the next issue. Like, I think we're going to get some more answers next couple issues than this one. I think they're still setting up stuff.
Yeah, this issue felt like, okay, the writer Dan Jurgens is like, I'm going to give like this total action-packed badass fight. It's going to take up the whole issue. We're going to see this Clark Kent character insist he doesn't have superpowers and be put in a very dangerous position. And we're also going to see a giant explosion underground to kind of set things up going forward. I almost feel like Jurgens knows that he has you know, two issues a month rather than one. And so he's maybe pacing things out differently than he would on a monthly series. I don't know.
That makes sense.
I'll have to ask him about that next time I talk to him. What about you, Manny? What are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. It was like, well, like both of you said, it's action packed. And then what I really liked about it was Clark Kent, the aspect of Clark Kent being there, and also Lois Lane and Jonathan being involved. That kind of completed the entire action sequence, because if we read Death of Superman, you know, we already have experience. We're kind of in the same boat as Lois, as we already know how the fight ends with Doomsday. So we can kind of empathize with her a little bit. And so to see a couple of panels here and there of her and Jonathan talking it out, her trying to calm him down, reassure him, when at the same time she's not sure herself of how it's going to end. And then also having, on the other hand, having Clark Kent just there as a reporter, and every other panel, you're also, you know, in the back of your mind, you're also thinking, you know, is he going to spring into action all of a sudden? Is he going to maybe remember that he's Superman, or is something going to jog his powers or something? So it really, and then the fight itself, I mean, they're going at it pretty hard, both Lex and Superman against Doomsday. And then with all that, you still have that person looking, looking on to everything. So there's just so much going on, and it's all kind of weaved in nicely into one action-packed issue that, I'm all into Action Comics. I really enjoyed it.
All right. So I guess that's unanimous. We loved it. I mean, I thought, like, I really enjoyed the first issue. Second issue felt a little slow for me. I kind of, it was obvious to me that I wasn't getting answers. This one I've read, I got so, like, wrapped up in the fight and what was going on that I didn't even really notice that we still hadn't gotten many answers. I thought it was just well done. Incredibly well paced would be, I guess, the best way to put it. So the next book we're going to talk about is Detective Comics number 936. This title or issue was written by James Tynion. The art is by Alvaro Martinez, inks by Raul Fernandez, and colors by Brad Anderson. This was, I think, the best issue for me of Detective Comics so far. Now, before I read it, I was thinking about the way that number 935 ended, with Batman being attacked, and so I was kind of looking forward to, you know, seeing how that fight went and maybe learning a little more about who the bad guys are. So for this issue to open up and kind of focus on Kate Kane was kind of a surprise for me, but it's definitely, I had been talking last issue about how I was ready to see the trainees, like, get into, you know, I'm ready for them, like, okay, enough with the danger room training, whatever, let's see them out and about. Now, we didn't get to see that yet, but I think we'll definitely see it in the next issue. I mean, Batman basically, we see a couple panels of him getting beat down by this bat-inspired army, but really he's defeated off-panel. Like, that's already happened. So it's pretty much up to this bat team at this point. Now, I'm not going to spoil what happens as far as, like, who is in charge of the big bads, but that came as a big surprise to me. You know, I'm not the hugest Batwoman fan. Like, I don't know her history and her supporting characters that much. I don't know that much about them. I just have never been a big fan of Batwoman. So the things that happened there, things from her past coming back and such, were a bit of a surprise for me. Maybe somebody else would see it coming. I certainly didn't. Another thing that struck me was how badass orphan Cassandra Cain is. She defeated some of the people that got the jump on Batman. So that was pretty cool. All in all, like Action Comics, being that third issue being the best so far, I think without question this is the best issue of Detective I've read so far. It really sets up for the Bat team. I mean, they've got to give him some kind of a code name at some point so we can, you know, because I don't know what to call him. But Batwoman, Spoiler, Red Robin, Orphan, Clayface, they're definitely set up in such a place with the way this issue ends for them to see some big action going forward. So I feel like the story, the setup is done. we've learned who the bad guys are. We don't know that much about them yet or how exactly they came to be, but we know who they are. The conflict has started. Like, they've declared war on each other. I expect next issue to be a lot of action. And, yeah, for me, the best issue of Detective so far. Really, really good. What did you think, Manny?
Yeah, I'm one of those people who thought it was predictable. And I felt it was, without giving much away, I thought it was a little bit underwhelming. I kind of expected to be a little bit more of a higher power, I guess. And just because that character, I never liked him, regardless of where I read him or saw him on any animated films. I kind of just rolled my eyes a bit. I was like, okay, whatever, I'll roll with it. But what I did like is them focusing a little bit more on Kate, just like you said, kind of like we saw in the last issue where Batman's hurt, so you kind of got the sense that she's gonna be taking over. She's gotta take command of the team, which I thought was great. But what I'm looking forward to is that action that you talked about. Especially, I want to see what other creative things, ways they're going to integrate Clayface, because the way they're able to some of the moves that they combined with him, I thought were really cool. So, I look forward to the team working together, especially with Clayface. For whatever reason, he was the most interesting part of more towards the end for me going forward. Yeah. And then I just want to see. I also really like the talk that Tim has with Kate, kind of giving her a little bit of confidence about her decisions, about being the leader. And I like the fact that even though he is Robin, he respects Batman's decision to have her as a leader. Even when the other team members show up, he quickly points at, like, hey, this is, you know, Kate's, she's the leader, she's the one running. He says she's the boss. So I really like that about him, that he's not as hot-headed and he respects the authority from Batman.
Yeah, he's a strong contrast to, like, Damian, let's say. I mean, Tim has always been a... Even when he was Robin, he was always pretty level-headed. All right, but I agree with you on the Two-Face. The Two-Face escape maneuver was really freaking cool.
Yeah.
All right, what are your thoughts, Jaden?
I don't think I really liked it as much as you guys did. I enjoyed the issue, but I don't know. I was a fan of the previous issue, not having really Batman in it that much, but I kind of want him to be kind of around, you know? Like, this whole issue, he was just getting his butt handed to him by some bad ninjas.
Yeah, he's in two panels.
Yeah. And it's a... So, I mean, I would like to see a little bit more Batman. I do like the characterization that's been going on, but I think I don't really care for these characters that much yet, or at least for most of them. I guess I'm just not invested yet, but I'm going to keep reading. It's interesting. Let's see where it goes.
All right. Let's skip over to The Flash number 2. So this issue was written by Josh Williamson. So the art was by Carmine Di Giandomenico. And the colors, Ivan Placentia, one of the two. I don't know. Art-wise, you know, we didn't mention the art on Detective. I guess best thing, just real quick, I could say about it was it wasn't good, or it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. It was kind of unremarkable. There was nothing that stood out about it. That's kind of why I didn't really have much to say about it. I mean, it was a serviceable job, but definitely not the best art I've seen. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it was good enough. I didn't really notice it.
Yep. No, we're back.
So this art, you know, Nick seems to love Dijon Domenico's style. I go back and forth. Sometimes I think it looks great. Sometimes not so much. I would be interested in seeing his art without the colors, because a lot of the panels, it's not just they're colored, there's so much like almost like a watercolor effect, and so I'm not sure what the art would necessarily look like without the colors. Like a lot of the backgrounds look like it, that's all added digitally afterward, so that there aren't any backgrounds at all. And then I would think that in a lot of the panels without the backgrounds, the art would look even worse. Like going and looking at the final battle and such. I don't know. I've been trying to keep an open mind about the art, but I think for me it's... I mean, I didn't care for it when I first saw it. Then I thought issue one of Flash, it got a little better. But I think for me, this issue is kind of a step backwards, art-wise. And it's too bad because, you know, I loved the art recently on Flash. And I feel like this is an important title in the DC Universe. But for me, the art is just not really working that well. As far as the story itself, I thought it was okay. Again, kind of like, Action Comics in that I'm ready for the story to get started. And we see at the end of the issue with, the Speed Force storm finally hitting a bunch of people in Central City and giving them powers, that the next issue 3, things are really going to start to move. I mean, when we heard, Josh Williamson talk at WonderCon, you know, this is what he was talking about. You know, when he was given the hook for the story, the little pitch, he's like, yeah, there's a Speed Force storm, a bunch of people get powers, and Flash has to deal with it. So, you know, I've been ready for that to go down, to happen, and see how Flash deals with it, see how Barry Allen deals with it, and see what happens next. And so, you know, I'm glad that that happened at the end of this issue, and we're finally going to see some things go down. Interested to see what happens with... guy that got the powers last issue. Is he going to be the one that turns into Godspeed? Is it going to be someone else? Because we saw in this issue that it seems like he's like ready to charge right in there and start being a hero. But he has kind of different ideas. He doesn't necessarily want to go by the rules like Barry Allen does. You know, he's like, I have these powers for a reason. It'd make things a lot simpler if, you know, we didn't follow the rules necessarily. And you know, we could go and catch the bad guys. We know they're guilty. Barry's like, no, we need evidence. And he's like, I don't know if I agree with that. So I guess we'll wait and see. It wouldn't surprise me if he turns out to be Godspeed, but I guess maybe it could end up being someone else. So like I said, I guess we'll wait and see. Who wants to go next? Go ahead, Manny.
It was an iffy issue for me. As far as the artwork goes, when the Speed Force is around, it works. That's how I feel. But everywhere else, it just looks messy to me. Some of the panels where Iris is getting kidnapped, I got a little lost in them, just because of how much is going on. And there's just a lot of lines. And it just, to me, it was pretty messy. I did like the beginning of the issue where he's kind of teaching him more or less about Speed Force and things he can do. It's funny how he says, yeah, you know, everything's going to be fast now, but you have to slow it down. Yet he's like busting out every move in his repertoire, and he's like, "Hey, can you do this yet? Can you do this yet? How about this? How about this? Can you vibrate through walls?" Like, I don't know where he gets that wall from, but he's doing all kinds of things with him, but at the same time he's telling him he needs to take it slow. So it was an okay issue. Didn't like it as much as everything else that I read this week. But I am very interested to learn what happens, or to see what happens with all of the speedsters. And as in, for me, I do not think that he's going to be Godspeed. I do think maybe he'll pretty much be Barry's partner to try and help him out with. I mean, if the whole city is full of speedsters, I'm assuming it's going to take a team to help him out. I think that's why also they have Wally in this issue as well, to remind you that he's there.
Yeah.
So
you didn't read anything into the how he seems to want to take the law into his own hands and take shortcuts?
Yeah, I did. And maybe they're, I don't know. It's a little too obvious for me.
Right.
But if they take it there, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I guess they went there. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to kind of draw your eye away, and it's someone else.
I don't know. My gut says that he turns into Godspeed.
No, I mean if he does, it would be interesting just because he had, I don't know. I would just think that whoever be Godspeed would be a little bit more knowledgeable about the Speed Force to be able to go up against Barry Allen. I mean, you can become a speedster, but you're definitely not Barry Allen. So I just think that whoever Godspeed is has to already know something about the Speed Force, at least, in order to become a real problem for Barry.
That's an interesting theory. What about you, Jaden? What did you think of the issue?
I didn't get a chance to read this one. I was planning on it, but I didn't get around to it. I'm probably going to read it and catch up when the next one comes out.
All right, sounds good. Let's move on then. Wonder Woman number 2. Now, this is the Wonder Woman year 1 storyline. We know that in the Wonder Woman book, Greg Rucka is writing the whole thing, but alternating issues, Liam Sharp as the artist in the odd issues, telling the modern story of Wonder Woman, and then Nicola Scott in the even issues, telling this Wonder Woman year 1 story. So, Greg Rucka writer, Nicola Scott artist, Romolo Fajardo Jr. handles the colors. First of all, I have to say, the art was some of the best Nicola Scott art I've seen. Probably her previous best work I've seen is in her Black Magic title, which is kind of rendered in grayscale. This art is as good as the Black Magic art when it comes to the characters. I kind of feel like in the Black Magic book, because it's in black and white or grayscale, and it's had more intricate backgrounds, that maybe the backgrounds there are just slightly better. But this art's in color, so there's a depth to it, and the characters have a realism to them because of the color that's not necessarily in the Black Magic book. So, you know, at the end of the day, they're different books, different stories, going for different kind of feels. So, that black and white, the grayscale, works for Black Magic, where it wouldn't work as well for this. This is a much more vibrant story, especially with the flashbacks we get with Steve Trevor and his friends. The coloring in the backgrounds on Paradise Island, when we see Wonder Woman looking up at the stars or running through fields, riding a horse through green fields. Yeah, it just works so much better with the color. The art in this book, the colors, the layouts, the facial expressions. The book is just stunning. I feel like it's one of those stories where you can just kind of go through and look at it from panel to panel without reading the words and really kind of already know like what's going on just based on the facial expressions and based on the art. It's just, it's amazing, amazing art. So the story itself, we kind of meet Diana. She's very young, and we kind of follow her through her young years as she kind of questions things on Paradise Island, like what is in the outside world. The story starts out, they're supposed to be studying the heavens, studying the stars and the constellations and such. And rather than looking up, Diana's looking out, and some of the elders kind of call her out on that. You're always looking to the horizon, trying to see what's out there in the world. And, you know, we've chosen as a people not to be part of the outside world. And so you need to, you know, look to the stars, look to the heavens, learn the lessons. But then we see as the issue ends, the outside world decide that, you know, it's not their choice anymore. The outside world kind of encroaches upon Paradise Island. And again, you know, it's one of those things like when you're reading a really, really good book that has a lot of characters, and you'll read one chapter that's about a certain group of characters, and you're really into that group of characters and what's going on in that situation, and then the chapter ends, and you're like, oh, I need more. And then you start the next chapter, and it's with a totally different set of characters. And you're like, at first you're a little disappointed because you were so wrapped up in what was going on in the previous chapter with that group of characters, and you want more of that. But the current chapter is different characters. And so you start reading that chapter, and then you get totally sucked into the whole new group of characters and the new situation. And by the end of that chapter, you just want more of those characters. And so you're like, ugh. I know next month it's going to go back to that, the odd storyline, the modern storyline. The storyline that ended with Wonder Woman and Cheetah face-to-face, extremely close face-to-face. And when that issue ended, I wanted more of that story. But I was like, man, I have to wait a whole month because I know the next issue coming out is Wonder Woman Year One with Nicola Scott and Greg Rucka rather than Greg Rucka and Liam Sharp. So now I've read issue two and I'm in that boat. I'm like, man, I want more of Wonder Woman Year One. But I know the next issue is going to be the Liam Sharp story. So it's like, it's incredibly well done. Both, I'm hooked into both storylines. The art, definitely a different style. You know, Nicola and Liam have totally different styles. They're both absolutely gorgeous to look at. I would say that Nicola's art is more emotional, whereas Liam's art is kind of, in a way, more impactful, almost like fine art. Both absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if I could pick one that I like more than the other. Even though they're different styles, they both work incredibly well and very well suited for the particular storylines that they're telling. So, you know, I kind of knew Wonder Woman was going to be one of the strongest Rebirth titles. And so far after two issues, it's proven to be true. The book is just absolutely stunning to look at. Great storytelling. And yeah, I can't wait to keep reading both of these stories for sure. Did you get a chance to read this one, Jaden?
No, this is another one that I didn't get a chance to read. This one in New Superman.
Okay.
Hearing you rave about the art, I think I have to check it out just to see the art.
Yeah, it's really good. What about you, Manny? What were your thoughts on Wonder Woman?
It was everything you said. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to go on and repeat what you said. It was Nicola Scott's facial expressions throughout the book were fantastic. I know it's not that important of a scene, but like the scenes where Trevor Scott's friends having a wife's having a baby, and he's kind of holding it, like those panels together. There's just so much emotion in those couple of panels. Also, Diana and her mom. Besides reading the book, like you can really sense what the characters are going through, and I can't imagine how difficult that is to do in a comic book, especially. I mean, just going through it again, you're having the contrast of what's going on in Steve's life and her life, and as they look outward, you can tell that in each one of their lives, something's missing just by their looks, and it was just such a great way to I guess reintroduce Wonder Woman, Diana, year one. And the worst part of this issue, we'll call it the worst part, was getting to the last page and realizing how long I have to wait for the next one. Yeah. And then, but then also realizing that, oh yeah, I had to go back to the lies, where she was coming face to face with Cheetah. So I was like, oh yeah, that's in 2 weeks. But then it's like on August 10, year one, part two. It's like, oh my God, that's like a month away. So, definitely, I did not expect to be hooked onto Wonder Woman as much as I am now. This was this one, just like Action Comics and Superman, is quite a surprise for me. But it's just so well done. They just nailed the creative teams on this title, and I look forward to the next one. Definitely one I will be recommending people to pick up.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the scene. You almost wonder why they put it in. You know, the scene where Steve goes into the hospital room, his best friend Nick is there with his wife, newborn child. Yeah, I mean, the facial expressions, you almost don't need the words, like I said. Just a gorgeous, I would love to own that page, actually, which is kind of where you think, oh, I want to own a page for Wonder Woman book, and you want action or her fighting, whatever. Man, that page is so well done. And case in point with me saying you don't necessarily need the words, if you go down to the page where Steve and his friend Nick get on the plane, there's no words on that page, but you know exactly what's happening. You know, it's a page where the Air Force transport is on the top panel. Next panel, we see Nick sitting down, or we see Steve about to sit down next to Nick. Next panel, we see Nick, and there's no words, there's no word balloons on this page. Next panel, we see Nick's kind of got a sad look on his face. Steve's looking on, Nick's taking off his wedding ring, and he's tucking it away into, in the next panel, he's tucking it away into his breast pocket, because he just had a kid, and here he is having to leave on a mission with his friend Steve, but he's having to leave his wife and newborn child behind, and you can just see the sad look on his face. Next panel, Steve's kind of got his arm on Nick's shoulder, consoling him, and then the final panel of the page, we see the plane flying off into the sky. And so, without a single word of dialogue on the page, you know exactly what's going on. You empathize with the characters. You know what they're feeling. I mean, this is storytelling at its finest right here. I mean, this is the whole point of comics. Sequential storytelling with art where the words aren't even necessary. And I would be selling Greg Rucka short if I gave all the credit here for this amazing page to Nicola Scott, because she would be the first one to tell you that even on a page like this, even though there was no dialogue for Greg to script, it's still his idea, it's still his layout, it's still the collaboration of both Greg and Nicola making this incredible storytelling happen. So be sure you get out there and pick up Wonder Woman issue 2 today. You won't be disappointed. When you see the couple pages that Manny and I are specifically raving about, you'll understand where we're coming from. So yeah, Wonder Woman, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep up with this strength of storytelling and art and pacing and plotting, whatever. I would not be surprised at all at this time next year if we're talking about Wonder Woman being nominated for some Eisner Awards. I really would not be surprised at all. It's really, really that good. So let's move on to... there were three number ones this week. Let's move on to New Superman number one. That's another one Jaden didn't get a chance to read. So Manny, why don't you go first this time? What did you think of New Superman number one? Actually, why don't you... let me give the creative team really, really quickly first. So this is written by Jean Luen Yang. The pencils are handled by Victor Bogdanovic. we've got inks by a friend of the show, Richard Friend. And the colors were by Hi-Fi Design, so Brian and Christy Miller. So what did you think, Manny?
I liked it. I'm not sure enough to... the ending actually had enough to hook me, but I'm not sure for how long. He has a good backstory. Obviously most superheroes start with some sort of tragedy in their lives, and this is not an exception. His mother was killed by what is his name again? I do not remember his name.
The new Superman?
Yeah, the kid.
Kenan Kong.
Kenan?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, Kenan Kong.
Because at first, when you start the book off and you see what he's doing to the other kid, and you're kind of wondering why, like how does this even work all together with him being, how is this guy even going to be Superman? But as the issue moves forward, it starts to unravel, and you kind of get a little bit of empathy for him. Although, you know, that's not the correct way of handling things. I mean, he did lose his mom, and unfortunately for what's this kid's name?
Lixon?
Louis.
Is that what you're talking about?
The boy he keeps picking on in the beginning.
Yeah, Luo Lixon.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, he takes out his anger on him because it's his father who runs the airline that his mom died in an accident. So it was great the way they unfolded that little by little as the issue goes forward. And then I just found it the ending really hooked me after when they have, it turns out they have their own version of the Justice League.
Yeah.
So, it's a little bit of a gimmick for me to pick up the next issue, which is why I wonder how long it'll keep me interested. So, yeah, it was good. Not the greatest, not the worst. It was good.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I guess, you know, I love Victor Bogdanovich's art when I've seen it in the past. Both on the Arkham Knight digital title and then in the new Suicide Squad or the Suicide Squad Most Wanted, working on the Deadshot half of that book with Richard Friend. I mean, I bought one of the pages at WonderCon. That's how much I love the art. I didn't love this art as much as I normally like his art. And I don't know if it's because he purposely was kind of doing it in a different style. I mean, my favorite pages are the ones where Kenan is actually in a Superman costume. Like he's kind of, you know, dreaming or imagining. There's a couple panels where you see Superman catching an airplane. Kind of flashback. Those are like some of my favorite panels. Also, the splash page right after Kenan gets his powers is really well done. And he looks a little better, like a little thinner after he has the powers. But early on in the book, I don't know, the art just didn't grab me. It didn't look like the kind of art I'm used to from Victor. So I'm hoping that it gets a little more detailed and a little more, I don't know, super heroic. It just didn't feel very super heroic to me. It felt, I don't know, I don't want to say like a manga style because that's not really, I don't know. It's just, it was weird. It just didn't, it looked a little cartoonish maybe. It just, like I said, it just wasn't what I was expecting. As far as the story itself, he's not, the main character, Kenan Kong, he's not very likable. You know, we see him and he's bullying the other kid to start, Lixon. And so, you know, I know that's done purposefully. And so I imagine that Jean Yang is doing that so that we can see growth in the character. But at this point, I'm reading so many titles. I don't know if there's room. I don't know if I have the time to read a book where I don't really care much for the main character. So, you know, being that I trust Gene Yang as a writer, and being that I know that Victor Bogdanovich can do incredible artwork, I'll definitely give the next issue a try, just to see how the tone changes now that Kenan Kong has his powers. But I don't know, I guess because of the creative team involved, I just expected to like it a lot more than I did. I was pretty excited about this title, actually. And it just, I don't know, this, maybe it's just because it's a setup issue, kind of. I don't know, I wasn't feeling it. It definitely was probably my least favorite book of the week. Do I think it's worth picking up? Yeah, it's probably worth picking up. It's probably worth your $2.99. But I do recognize it might not be everybody's cup of tea. And this will definitely be a title that, if it doesn't get better by issue 3, that I'll probably drop. You know, I'll give them a couple more issues to see if the tone starts to change, and I enjoy it more. But like I said, I'm reading so many books now and trying to keep up on so many titles that I don't really have time to read something where I'm waiting for it to get better. You know, not when there's books like Wonder Woman out there on the stands. So, yeah, probably, like I said, my least favorite title of the week. So, well, let's move on to Nightwing Rebirth number 1. I know you read this one, Jaden. What were your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. It definitely made sense why they needed to do a lot of like setup and a lot of internal dialogue with Dick, because they really wanted to get him from what was it, Spy 37?
Agent.
Or Agent 37. They wanted to change him from that into back into Nightwing. And I thought it was pretty cool. I liked I thought the art was pretty good. It was kind of stylized, but I really liked the last page with him like embracing his Nightwing costume and deciding he's going to become Nightwing again, even though he's only had his secret identity for a little bit. It just kind of shows his character and just how Nightwing is really who Dick Grayson is. Makes me happy.
Yeah, I should say that this issue was written by Tim Seeley, and the pencils and inks were by Yannick Paquette. Colors were by Nathan Fairbairn? Fairbairn? I don't know. I'm not familiar with him. It's F-A-I-R-B-A-I-R-N. So, what about you, Manny? You have anything to add?
Well, reading this, I kind of wish I'd read a little bit more Grayson, because I still haven't read any of it.
Oh,
because I really feel like I'm missing part of the story. But it was great. It was good. Not great, I mean good. Good setup issue. And kind of explained what he's been going through and how he kind of goes back to Nightwing. I did find the explanation of why he picked to be Nightwing a little bit weird. I don't know if that's canon, because I had never heard of that before, that he actually got it from a Kryptonian superhero, has nothing to do with Batman.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I really didn't.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's totally true.
No, that's new to me.
That's pre-crisis right there, son.
Oh, okay. Well, at least I learned something. But, it was pretty good.
What'd you think of the art?
It was decent. I liked it. I love the cover. Some of the pages with Midnight were kind of cool. But yeah, the best panels were near the end, where he's looking at the Robin suit, and then at the end when he's wearing his Nightwing costume. So it's done well, and I'll keep reading this. Just I've had good experiences with Nightwing before, so I have no problem in keeping up with him.
Yeah, Javier Fernandez did the cover. I think he's the artist on the regular title going forward. For me, the art was probably the weakest part of this story. I just felt it was kind of inconsistent for me. I liked it in a lot of places, especially the Parliament of the Owls. I thought it was done really well, those panels. And Batman looks okay to me, but I just didn't care for the way he drew Dick's face or Damian. They just, I don't know, they look a little kind of Neanderthal to me, especially like he gives Dick like this giant chin, like that last panel, man. It's just like he's all chin. It just, I don't know, didn't, it just looked a little off to me. I think with a smaller chin it would have bothered me less, but all I can see when I look at that last panel is this giant chin. So but yeah, as far as understanding the character of Dick Grayson, understanding the character of Nightwing, Tim Seeley is a great choice. I think this issue will definitely please longtime fans of Dick Grayson and Nightwing. Very, very well done. And I think that from everything Tim Seeley told me when I talked to him at WonderCon, basically taking the best parts of the Grayson title and getting Dick Grayson back into the costume as Nightwing and kind of blending those two together is going to make this this new Nightwing series from DC very, very successful. So, yeah, great book. I'm sure this one will do well.
You know, something that I kind of like as well is his relationship with Damian. I like it a ton better than Batman and Damian. So even though it took up a couple of pages in the issue, I thought I liked it because that's part of who Dick Grayson is he has a really good relationship, as much as they hate to admit it, with each other, with Damian. And sometimes I feel like he gets him a little bit more than even Bruce does.
Fair enough. If there's any drawback or any negative I could say to the issue, it would be that if, like Manny said, you haven't been reading Grayson, you may feel a little lost. I don't necessarily think you need to go back and read the Grayson title in order to read the Nightwing series going forward. I think you might get a little more out of it. It might be a little easier to understand. So, if there's any little tiny nitpick, it would just be that. You know, a lot of the Rebirth, well, some of the Rebirth titles have been, or the Rebirth issues themselves have been a little more new reader friendly. And I just feel like this wasn't the most new reader friendly. It probably falls some, wasn't the worst, but it's not necessarily as much of a self-contained story as, say, the Aquaman one is, or the book we're going to talk about next, which is Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. As far as being new reader friendly and getting someone caught up who hasn't been following along with Green Lantern, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps does an excellent job. Maybe the only book I would say that does an even better job, the only book that feels even more like a one and done complete story, is probably the Justice League Rebirth title. But other than that one, this one is probably the one, the other one that feels the most self-contained and the most like a one-shot and gets you all caught up. Comparing those two, the art in this one is a heck of a lot better. So this book was written by Robert Venditti. The artist is Ethan Van Sciver, and the colorist is Jason Wright. And it's basically, yeah, just getting caught up on the status quo of the Green Lanterns, but it doesn't necessarily read like you're getting caught up on the status quo of the Green Lanterns. It moves Hal Jordan as a character along a little bit. It kind of reintroduces us to Hal. We see him do something that no Green Lantern has ever been able to do before, which is cool. We also learn what the Sinestro Corps has been up to and kind of see where they're at. And we see a different side of Sinestro. He's kind of in a position where we've never seen him before. So, again, I felt like this was really, really well done with getting a new reader caught up. But being that I'm totally caught up with Green Lantern, I've been reading Green Lantern on a regular basis, I didn't necessarily need the recap, but I didn't feel like this was a waste of time for me because it wasn't all recap. There was enough new stuff in there, enough new characterization, some beautiful art from Ethan Van Sciver, and I really enjoyed this issue, and I can't wait to see what happens next with Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. I mean, that last panel with Hal, where he's finishing reciting his oath. I mean, that panel was awesome. So really looking forward to Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps, issue one. What did you think of this issue, Manny?
I liked it. For the most part, I'm caught up also on Green Lantern. But you're right. Because it's a Rebirth title, I don't mind the recap. I like the fact that it catches you up and gets you going for the new story, especially because I see the purpose of it as for me to give it to somebody and say, this is, you know, start right here with Green Lantern. And, it's a great feeling to give something to someone and they're going to be able to understand it and follow along if they like the character. So it was kind of cool to recap everything on Renegades and where the kind of like, hey, we don't know where the rest of the core is, catch up with Hal Jordan. And you know he's going to do something, you know he's doing something big, something really important when it can be felt throughout the spectrum of the emotional spectrum. And then towards the end, you find out what he did, and that was pretty cool. And yeah, you're right. When he finishes the panel where he finishes the reciting the oath, that is a print that I would like to have hanging on my wall. That is one heck of a Green Lantern panel. And then the last one itself, also where with the actual lantern, that was really cool. So, very excited to see where this goes and how it goes about finding the rest of the core. I thought it's really well done for being a Rebirth title. And, I look forward to the next one. I mean, I enjoyed Renegades and some of the other, arcs that they've recently done anyway. So it's going to be really easy for me to keep up.
Yeah, this is my favorite of the books that I read this week, or the Rebirth books that I read this week. It was really good. It's like you said, it was a really good self-contained story. To me, Hal Jordan has kind of been somewhat of a flat character. He is my Green Lantern because on almost everything that I've read, he was the main Green Lantern. But he's always been kind of blah to me. But I thought it was really cool that he forged his own ring in this book. I thought that was really, like, a cool thing, because the only other people who had done that before were what are they called? The Guardians. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where this issue is going to go, or this book is going to go, because I was very curious to see where Hal Jordan was in this new Rebirth universe, and definitely going to keep reading. And like you guys said, the art was amazing. I mean, Ethan Van Sciver is definitely a very good artist.
All right, we'll get back to my favorite title was, if it was this one or Wonder Woman. I'm going to have to think about it for a second. But let me ask you this, Manny. You said you were caught up on Green Lantern. Were you caught up on Sinestro also?
Hello? My bad. I had the mute on. No, not on Sinestro.
Okay, but you. So the recap from that point of view was good for you, like useful for you.
Yeah, I kind of got an idea what he's been up to. It does open my curiosity to want to go back and check it out, but I know enough going forward to know where, you know, what he's up to.
Yeah, I mean, basically his homeworld got destroyed, Khoragar got destroyed, and he goes and takes over Warworld, which was Mongols. A world, and it's kind of like a battle world, a movable planet, if you will. And since the Green Lantern Corps is missing, he takes it upon himself to move Warworld, the new Korugar, they call it, into that spot where Oa used to be. So Korugar, the new Korugar, is at the center of the universe now, Sector 000. And also along the way, like Warworld, they took it over. The planet itself was like falling apart because they had to fight for it. They battled for it. And in the course of the battle, the planet didn't have energy to like even stay together anymore with the Warworld planet. And so he puts Parallax, the entity where they get their Yellow Lantern power from, he puts him basically into the center of the world to power it and transform it into new Korugar, and they move it to the center. So that it's going to be interesting. So I mean, what happens now? Like, so Hal Jordan's going to go find the Green Lantern Corps, and then do they go and take over new Korugar? I mean, do they have the right to take over this planet? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of questions there to be answered. Whether they, I mean, can you try to recreate Oa, or and will they try to bring the Guardians back? I mean, a lot of questions for sure, because the whole Green Lantern mythos, the emotional spectrum, the Guardians, all those things have a long and storied history in the DC universe. So Robert Venditti's got his work cut out for him, and definitely going to be an interesting story going forward. So Jaden's favorite title of the ones he read. Now, so you, Jaden, you read Action Comics, Detective Comics, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, and Nightwing, right? You read those four?
Yeah.
You didn't get a chance to read New Superman, The Flash, or Wonder Woman. Okay, so out of those, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps was your favorite. All right, yeah. What do you pick, Manny? Which was your book? What's your book of the week? You might be on mute again.
Actually, I was thinking, but yeah, you're right. I was on mute. I'm going to have to go with Wonder Woman, just based on it being a complete book. Action Comics, I really enjoyed as well. But maybe I enjoyed Wonder Woman a little bit more.
Yeah, for me, it's between Action, Hal Jordan, and Wonder Woman. I thought all three were absolutely spectacular. But yeah, just, you know, like you said, based on it being a complete book, superb story and art, and covering new territory for me, I'm going to have to give the nod to Wonder Woman. And maybe I'll put Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps as my second favorite. Just based on the fact that, yeah, a lot of it was a recap, which, and a lot of it was the information I already knew, but the art was amazing. And then, you know, Action Comics, great art, a lot of action, but didn't necessarily advance the story that far. So I had to put those are my top three, probably in that order. But it's really close between two and three. But Wonder Woman really, it kind of distanced itself from the pack for me this week. Just an amazing book. So really, really, really well done. So you're definitely gonna have to get caught up on that, Jaden. If you're not too tired, you should read it right now before you head off to bed.
Yeah, I might fall asleep while reading it though.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, just a reminder, everybody, Jaden and I will be at San Diego Comic-Con starting next Wednesday. That's the 20th of July. We'll be there all 5 days. So if you're there, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know if you want to meet face-to-face. It's always great to meet fans. If you're not going to be there, if you're not fortunate enough to get badges or live too far away, you can live vicariously through Jaden and I. Make sure you're following us, following our Twitter account and our Instagram. Or our Facebook, for that matter. We'll have tons of creator interviews. I mean, just tons of creator interviews coming in the days and weeks following San Diego. A lot of great information. So, like I said, be sure to follow along. Once again, we want to thank everyone for joining us. Please visit us at thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast. You can watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as finding links to Manny's written blog and my written blog, and of course the famous sketch gallery. As I said, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. twitter.com/thecomicsource. If you want to find us on Facebook or Instagram, just do a search for The Comic Source on those two social media platforms. That's us. Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con coming up pretty quick. I'm getting excited. What about you, Jaden?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it'd be nice to just get out of this Phoenix heat. So, and Manny will be there next year.
Yes, I will. Either way, I got a lot of shows coming up in August and September, so it's not going to be that bad.
Yeah, I've got. Let's see. What do you have coming up?
I'm still not 100% sure, but I might go to the Heroes and Villains in San Jose in the third or fourth week of August, and then the following or the previous week before that, I am going to Stockton Con in, well, Stockton. They have some pretty surprising names heading out there, so I'm going to head out there. And then after that, San Francisco SF Con. I guess they're putting on a show, and they're going to have some pretty good names also. And then after that, hopefully I'll see you at Long Beach.
Long Beach, yep. I'll be at Long Beach for sure.
And then...
Go ahead.
And then I'll finish off the following month with hopefully my first Kamikaze.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to Stanley's Kamikaze as well this year. Just sent in my application for a press pass. And yeah, definitely going to Long Beach. And I think before that, I think sometime in August is Tucson Con here in Arizona. It's about an hour and a half away from Phoenix, so I'm definitely planning on hitting that one up for sure. Also, one last thing before we go. I may have mentioned this on the show before. I'm pretty sure I did. I'm now writing articles for scififorme.com. My most recent article on the DC Vertigo title Unfollow just went up. So if you're curious about what's going on with that tale, kind of the dark side of social media, it's a really, really a good story by Rob Williams. And the art is by a guy named Mike Dowling. So go and check that out. So once again, everyone...